Hey, good morning. How about, can I get everyone to move forward, please? Come on, move forward. No, keep your... All right, I'll just preach to you, Tim. No, on the seats, we've got a whole empty row here. We've got all these seats at the front. Oh. Just to update you on that, next week we'll have carpet. Everyone's really excited about that. Here you go, Karen, there's a seat right there for you. Come on, move forward. You know, it makes it so much easier to preach when everyone's not sitting on the back wall. So much easier to preach. We can have a bit more fun then. Are you happy to be in church this morning? Best place to be. Hey, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for all that you're doing in our hearts. I thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing through this church in the community. And I pray, Father God, that as I bring your word this morning, that you will enliven it to our hearts. Lord, that you will open our hearts, open our minds to receive it. And Lord, that we'll take what you teach us this morning and put it into action in our lives. Lord, we just surrender everything to you this morning. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you come and have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're still talking about God's but. God's but. 70 days of but. I can't remember what day we're up to, but we've been doing lots of good things, talking about the interruption of God. And one of the ways that we've been interrupted in the last 70 days is by doing our pay it forwards. And I just wanted to update you on the women's pay it forward, which we did a few weeks ago. The lady came into food care last week and she was so touched. She pulled me aside and had a bit of a chat to me. And she said, I don't know how you knew to turn up that day. She said, this week, another of my children had been diagnosed with autism and my husband has as well. So now she's got 3 out of her 5 children autistic. She's got her husband just been diagnosed as well. He's off on sick leave. They're going through really tough times and we didn't know that was definitely a God's but. That was definitely an interruption from God. She said that morning we sat down, we'd come to the end of our savings. She said we've been on waiting on Centrelink for an appointment for 6 weeks. We've had no money coming into the house whatsoever. She said we sat down and we could either make the mortgage payment or buy food. And she said, we decided we had to make the mortgage payment because we have to keep a roof over our children's head. She said, with 5 children, there's not many people who will rent to you, especially when they're disabled. So we decided we had to pay it. And she said, we didn't know what we were going to do. And then you turned up with all that food. So God is good. When you listen to God, he is good. So exciting, exciting, exciting things. But today, I want to talk to you a little bit about what the but of God, what the interruption of God has done in my life and what I'm sure he's done in yours. Last week, Pastor Dave talked about the but of God when it comes to finances and how we need to be open and ready to hear from God when it comes to our finances or we'll really miss things. He talked about when our heart's in the right place, we believe we can make a difference. We believe we can do what we do counts. We're looking for opportunities to put that belief into action with our finances, with our time, with our treasure, our talents. He spoke about what you speak displays what's happening in your heart. So what comes out of your mouth gives a very good representation of what you're really thinking in your heart. He also spoke about how you see says more about you than it does about what you're seeing and how things can obscure our vision. And when that happens, we stop hearing God as clearly as we could. I know for a fact that if God hadn't have done what God's done in my life, that I would still be stuck in poverty. I would still be in a really bad way, even though I'd given my heart to the Lord. I gave my heart to the Lord. He did an amazing thing in me. But that was just the start. And so many people say a prayer and they stop right there. They think, okay, God, I've done my bit. Now, I'll just continue living as I have been living. But God says, no, that's just the start. You give your heart, and then God actually starts wanting to speak to you. So we've got to develop a relationship. We've got to develop an ability to hear the but, the interruption, the voice of God. And if we don't give the time to God to do that, we're forever going to be stuck right there and really frustrated. I see so many people who say, how come that person's got that? How come that person's got that? How come that person can do all those wonderful things and I'm stuck? Maybe look at your relationship with God. Because as long as you're comparing with someone else, you're actually missing what God has for you. Because God didn't call you to be someone else. He called you to be the very best you can be. You know, when we were in MTI was an amazing place to be. It was a very stretching place to be. But there was one class we did on tithing. And I'll tell you what, it revealed people. It revealed them in a way that I'd never seen people before. We had this huge class arguing over whether you tithe off the gross or the net. Whether you tithe before tax or after tax. And this thing went on, honestly, all day. It went on for days. People were whinging and carrying on and, you know, because, no, I believe that you pay your taxes first and la, 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 la. You know, everyone had their own self-righteous opinion. And God said to me a couple of days later, I said, well, what is it, God? And he said, you're all looking at the wrong thing. You're looking through the wrong lens. See, when you start worrying about whether to pay before or after tax, when you start thinking about all that sort of stuff, you're actually not looking at God. You're looking at you. You're looking at how you can make this come to pass instead of trusting God. So, we were all wrong. All of us in MTI. Hopefully, we all got it right eventually. See, God wants our heart, not our wallet. He wants our life, not our lips. He wants our obedience, not our resentment. He wants our faith and not our poverty-mindedness. Today I want to share with you on the butt of God when it comes to obedience. See, you'll never go very far in your relationship with God if you're not willing to listen for his voice and then obey. See, it's no use just hearing the voice of God. That's all very good. But if you never do anything with it, then you are in disobedience. And that's a fairly scary place to be in with God. I want to talk to you about how the butt of God changed the course of my entire life. About 2 weeks after I had said a prayer and asked Jesus to come and be my Lord and Saviour, I'd gone to church one night. And I was at that stage where as a young Christian you're saying, God, I'll do anything. Just tell me what you want me to do. So I'm in my bedroom and I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying. I've actually been praying for ages and ages. God, what do you want me to do? And all of a sudden, I saw exactly what he wanted me to do. And I was really, really scared. I saw myself sitting at the front of a church. I saw myself with a microphone in my hand getting up to preach before a congregation of about 400 people. And I knew that I was the pastor. Now, bear in mind, this is 2 weeks after I'd said a prayer and said, God, I give you my life. I was still in the depths of depression. I was agoraphobic. I literally didn't answer the door and I certainly didn't answer the phone. And here I was seeing this vision of me with a microphone standing in front of a church of that many people preaching. And I went, oh no, oh no, 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 I don't think so. No, no, show me something else. And I literally heard God laugh. And I said, no, no, you don't understand, I can't do that. No, God, no, no, God, if you want me to do that, I don't think I can be a Christian. I was that serious, I was that frightened. And again, God said to me, do you trust me? Oh, man, that's a hard one. Yeah, yeah, I trust you, God. And he said, do you? And I went, oh. You see, at the same time that that interruption came, I was living in really quite abject poverty. I was depressed. I was a single mum. I was divorced. I was a woman. All these things that told me I couldn't be a pastor told me that there's no way that this dream that God put in my heart could come to pass. And then, to top it all off, I actually made the mistake of telling a couple of people what I'd seen. You know how you tell people the dream squashes? Well, I told one of my sisters, and she's a very Baptist girl, and she said, well, you better get a husband then, because you can't do that without a husband. And I went, oh, can I? Oh, okay. And then my brother said, you can't be a pastor, only men can be pastors. And I went, oh, really? Okay. And I'm thinking, God, I was so sure that was you. And God just kept bringing it back to my mind every time I went to deviate from the path that he'd put before me. I just would get that flash of vision and think, oh. And every time, even though it scared me no end, something in me got excited. Something in me said, yes. And I didn't know how it was going to happen. And I certainly didn't know when it was going to happen. But I knew that God had said it would happen. And that no matter what people said, no matter what my previous religious beliefs said, I was brought up in the Catholic Church, women are nuns and nothing else. They certainly never speak the word of God to anyone except children. And that was not my vision. Thank you, God. God said it was going to happen. But I had a choice. See, I could choose to allow fear and poverty and lack to stop me right there. And I could still have been someone who loved God, but I would never, ever, ever have achieved what God wanted me to achieve. Or I could choose to follow God and to trust him and to believe that if this was from God, and I believed it was, then he would bring it to pass. And so within a week or so, I was at, probably not a week or so, probably a few weeks later, I was in a new Christmas class. And someone said something to me about I should go to MTI next year. And I just nodded and went, okay. I didn't know what MTI was at that stage. I went home and I rang my sister in Port Macquarie. I said, what's MTI? She went, oh, I don't know. I think it's Bible College. And I went, oh, man, I've just agreed to go to Bible College. I couldn't believe it, but I just had decided in my heart, whatever God said, whatever God interrupted me, I would just say yes, and I'd figure it out later. I decided that I'd go on faith, not fear, because fear had ruled my life all my life. I decided that I would trust God even when it made absolutely no sense. Because I do believe that God is a good God. I believe that no matter what, in any circumstances, no matter what I'm going through, that ultimately God is good. And so no matter what I do, as long as I'm following after God, it's all good. That's my belief. And when you set your heart on the things of God that strongly, it actually becomes quite easy to do. You know, the vision said the church was mine. I was the one that was leading it. My mind said it can't happen. But God said it can. My sister told me I had to get married. People in my life said, you'll need to jump through all these hoops. But God said, just do what I tell you. People told me I couldn't do it, even me. But God said, trust me. My religious upbringing told me it was impossible. But God said, with me, all things are possible. It made no sense to me. At the time, I was still smoking 50 cigarettes a day. I still had a bit of a problem with alcohol. I was drinking quite a lot every night. I'd gotten myself off drugs at that stage, but I was still on antidepressants. I was a mess. And if I looked at the reality of it, I would never, ever, ever have trusted in God. But I knew that God was bigger than all of that. And I know that God is bigger than all of that in your life as well. See, God talks to all of us, not just me. He doesn't pick his special ones. He wants to talk to all of us in a way that brings life. But we have to listen. We have to be willing to listen. I had two choices. Believe God, don't believe God. I had two choices. Trust God Don't trust God. I had two choices, obey or don't obey. I chose to believe. I chose to trust. I chose to obey. When we allow God's but, his intrusion in our life, several things happen. If you've got a pen and paper, I've got some points for you today. The first thing is, we need to grow. God will move us way out of our comfort zone. Have you got your Bibles there today? Let's have a look at 2 Kings, chapter 8. Have a listen to this. This is the best story, it really is. Elisha had told the woman whose son he had brought back to life, "Take your family, move to some other place, for the Lord has called for a famine on Israel that will last for 7 years." So the woman did as the man of God instructed. She took her family and settled in the land of the Philistines for 7 years. After the famine ended, she returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to see the king about getting back her house and land. As she came in, the king was talking to Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. The king had just said, "Tell me some stories about the great things Elisha has done." And Gehazi was telling the king about the time Elisha had brought a boy back to life. At that very moment, the mother of the boy walked in to make her appeal to the king about her house and land. "Look, my lord, my king," Gehazi exclaimed, "here is the woman now, and this is her son, the very one Elisha brought back to life." "Is this true?" the king asked her, and she told him the story. So he directed one of his officials to see that everything she'd lost was restored to her, including the value of any crops that had been harvested during her absence. That is massive. That is massive. This woman was told by a prophet, okay, God's going to bring a famine, you need to go. She packs up everything she has and she just moves to another land for 7 years, comes back after 7 years, just happens to be in the right place at the right time when somebody's talking about her with the only person who could probably restore all her stuff to her. And the king restores not only her land and all her possessions, but also back pays her for anything that's been taken off her land for that 7 years. That's massive. That's massive. That's a woman listening to the interruption of God. That's a woman heeding the but of God. She could have said, okay, well, you're a prophet. I know, you know, you get things right all the time because there's heaps of examples of it. But move my whole family? For 7 years, I'll lose everything. But she chose to trust. She chose to obey. And she chose to act. And because of that, at the end of that 7 years, she was better off than she would have been beforehand. How awesome is that? When you listen to God, when you allow his interruption to truly interrupt your life and you obey it, something amazing happens. God looks after you. The woman did as she was instructed. It doesn't always make sense. When God tells you something, it often makes no sense at all. And we think, oh, so we try and make it make sense. No, just do it. Be simple in it. Simple in your beliefs. Simple in when you're evaluating what God brings to you. Accept it for what it is. Don't try and make it what it isn't. We'll always need to grow. We'll always see something that's got to be done when we accept the but of God. Always. Because God will never speak to your heart. He'll never give you a vision. He'll never give you that interruption if you're already where you need to be. Because he wouldn't need to interrupt you. Does that make sense? So, number one, we need to grow. God will always move us out of our comfort zone. That's how you know it's an interruption from God. Some way, somehow, you'll need to grow. Number two, you're going to need God. We need God to see the vision come to pass. When God showed me that vision, I knew that isn't going to happen without God. So isn't going to happen without God. absolutely wasn't going to happen without God. God never asks us to do what we can do without Him. He asks what we can do with Him, in partnership with Him, relying on Him, trusting Him, having faith in Him. The but of God will always challenge you in an area of faith. The third thing is we need faith. It requires our faith to be activated. Flip back to 1 Kings chapter 18. We'll start in verse 41. It's when Elijah prays for rain. Elijah said to Ahab, "Go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming." So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. He said to his servant, "Go and look out toward the sea." The servant went and looked, then returned to Elijah and said, "I don't see anything." Seven times Elijah told him to go and look. Finally, the seventh time, the servant told him, "I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea." Then Elijah shouted, "Hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you." And soon the sky was filled with black clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt and ran. You're always going to need faith. How often do we hear the interruption of God, follow up for a little while and give up just before we see the answer? Elijah had to send his servant seven times. Each time he could see nothing. But Elijah knew, because God had arrested his heart and told him to pray for rain, that the storm was coming. This was after a huge time of drought. We need to stay in faith until we see that interruption become reality in our life. Everyone's very quiet this morning. We need to act. This is number four. We actually have to do something. God doesn't just wave a magic wand and say, "There you go, all done." We really want Him to. We really wish He would. But when God interrupts us, it's because we have a part to play. And we have to partner with God. Because what we learn through the process, what we learn through growing, what we learn as we're on the journey to see what God has, is what actually equips us to be able to cope with it. So if we don't do the work, we can't actually get the prize because we're not ready for it. So the but of God, when you listen to the but of God, you actually have to do something so that you can receive what God has for you, so you can receive the promise, so that you can be whoever it is God's shown you you're to be. How many people hear the interruption of God and then think, "Oh, I don't know how to do that," and so they just stop? It's sad. It's sad. You need to take it seriously. God does. God takes it really seriously. And sometimes we can cheapen the things of God and we can say, "Oh, you know, I think it was God." But we let our own discouragement or our own negativity or our poverty thinking or whatever it is stop us. Instead of saying, "You know what, God, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know. But I know." Lastly, we need to obey. When we obey, we're in the right place at the right time with the right skills and the right people to do whatever it is that God wants us to do. That woman, she was in the right place at the right time because she'd obeyed the will of God. If she hadn't have gone for 7 years and come back, she would never have been in front of the king. And the likelihood in a time of famine is that after 7 years, she wouldn't have had any land left. She would have sold it off to eat so that she and her family could eat. But because she obeyed God, she obeyed the interruption, she went, she came back, she was right there. And God went, bam. It pays to be where God wants you to be. You know, the result of obedience is full restoration of your life. She got everything back and more because she'd done what God told her to do. You know, God moments release your destiny. Nothing else will, only those moments you hear from God. True life can only be found in relationship to God. And the only way you'll ever hear the interruption of God is when you stop long enough for him to tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, listen to this. Or, hey, have a look at this. How long since you've just waited to hear from God? Can I have the music team up, please? How long since you felt that spiritual tap on your shoulder, encouraging you, scaring you, inspiring you? How about you do it right now? Let's just all close our eyes. Come, Holy Spirit. I ask that right now, you just come. Lord, we still our hearts, we still our minds, and we just put our focus on you. Because we want to hear your voice. We want to heed the call. Come in, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way. Let your mind just be still for a minute. Come on, Lord, I ask that you just speak to people's hearts right now. That you come and encourage. You come and correct. You come and uplift. Come and do what only you can. Lord, we repent of being too busy to stop and listen. Show us how to listen today, Lord. Lord, I ask that today you'll just unlock destiny. Lord, that where people have put down your interruption, where they've walked away defeated, Lord, that you'll bring that vision back. You'll get people back on the path that you've put before them. Come on, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Have your way.